day. As God was with Moses, he's promised to be with us. We'll just dwell on that for a little while. Be strong and of good courage, for under this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You might want to circle that all. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Paul wrote later, if God be for us, who can be against us? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. 3 days, we're crossing that river. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he is with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we're looking to your word. We ask you to speak to us. Ask you to show us these principles that we need to see. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for the example that he sets for us. Lord, you said in your word these Old Testament things are given for examples to us. And so help us to learn from Joshua tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Joshua 1, we find God speaking to Joshua. And he restated his promise to Joshua that Israel will inherit the promised land. And they will inhabit that land. Now, let me call time out. God said to Abraham hundreds of years before this, I'm giving you this land of Canaan. This will be to you and your posterity. Abraham, father of the Jews. And he said, this land is yours forever. God didn't say for a little while. God said, this is your land forever. And God promised Abraham, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. God has not changed his mind. That land still belongs to the Jews. We have the conflict over there. They call themselves the Palestinians. No such animal if you do research. But they say they own that land, and the Jews say, oh no, this is our land. See, the Jews have a title deed that God signed. So I'm glad America is now back on the right side of that thing. For 8 years, we were on the wrong side. We were against Israel. God's not going to bless any nation against Israel. Just thought I'd throw that in for you. Now, we're going to look at the object of faith here. So God speaks to Joshua. He says, Moses is dead. You're my man, and I'm going to be with you. And he says, you're going to go into that promised land. You're going to take that promised land. You're going to defeat all those people over there. Those giants and those cities, fortified cities that those men said you couldn't defeat. Remember, Joshua, when you and Caleb came back and you said you could, and they said you couldn't? Well, you're going to. He says, but here's the key. You're going to have to act in faith and be obedient if you want the victory. And so Joshua has a charge. God says you're to be courageous, you're to be resolute, you're to be obeying, you're to be meditating on my law if you want to be successful. You know, go over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a second. Joshua managed to make it into the Hall of Fame here, or Hall of Faith, in Joshua chapter or Hebrews chapter 11. It was here today, I saw it. Oh, there it is. Hebrews 11. In verses 23 through 29, it talks about Moses. And it talks about how Moses, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a great decision to follow God and not to follow the things of this world, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Can I just call time out for a minute? That's a wonderful, wonderful recording of the history of what happened that night. How many of you have read it? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Have you ever stopped to think about being in the house of the Israelites that night? So what are you talking about? They did exactly what God told them to do. Put the blood. And they went into their houses and they huddled down and they waited. What were they waiting for? See what happened. See, I just don't believe they were all spiritual giants. I believe they said, we're going to do what God said to do. Hopefully we'll wake up tomorrow morning. How would you like to be in one of those houses and know the death is coming through tonight? Hey, mama. I know that all the firstborn are going to die. I wonder how many mothers huddled over their firstborn all night long. Just a thought. Oh, we read over, so wonderful. Yeah, but think about being one of those people who had to trust God. Not for their next meal. Not for the clothes on their back. For their very lives. Oh, I think we read over that. But anyway, let's get back to Hebrews. Man, I'm chasing too many rabbits. We'll be in this lesson forever. That's okay. It goes on. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do. We're drowned. We know that story. And then verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. That walls of Jericho, we're going to get into that. That's chapter 2. But you see, the emphasis is on the faith that Joshua had to have. He couldn't be tentative in his faith. He had to be 100% sold out to trust in God. That's the only way he could do what he did. And that's what our lesson is about tonight. Faith and obedience. Being sold out to God. The object of faith. Now, Joshua's here, and we saw Moses and how it talked about him, what he did by faith. And the next thing we find talked about is Joshua. What happened in between? Not a trick question. Moses, Joshua, what happened in between? How long's it been? 40 years since they crossed the Red Sea. Nothing's recorded about that as far as faith. Moses' faith, Joshua's faith. Why nothing about 40 years? Because they spent 40 years out there because they didn't have faith. Remember? The 10 spies said no, and God said, hey, now for every day you was in that land, you're going to spend a year in the wilderness. Just another sidelight. You see, a life without faith, somebody said, is zilch, a zero. It is without meaning. Said, simple childlike faith is what pleases God. And that's what Hebrews 11:6 tells us. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We want to please God? Well, I do. Okay, live by faith. What's that mean? Believe Him. Trust Him. Take Him at His word. And then act on it. We're pretty good at that first part, taking God at His word. Yeah, I believe the Bible. I believe God. But we kind of tend to lack over here on obedience based on faith. All right, let's look at this. The object of faith. There it is. What's the object of your faith? That you will trust and obey God. Notice it's two parts. God doesn't want us just to trust Him, and He doesn't want us just to obey Him. He wants us to trust and obey. He wants our obedience to be the result of trust. That's why James wrote all that about, show me your, I'll show you my faith by my works. What's he saying? I have faith in God, and the way I display it is by obeying God. Well, that's the object. We see here in this chapter a call to preparation. And so God says to Joshua, now, you're going to lead these people in 3 days. You're crossing that river. Can I remind you that we're told that river at that time of year, the Jordan River, is at flood stage. How many of you have ever seen the Delaware River down here at flood stage? How would you feel if God told you, now I want you to cross that river? That's a pretty good challenge, isn't it? Washington crossed it. I've been there. I've been down to Washington Crossing on many occasions, saw where he did it. But it wasn't flood stage. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but it wasn't flood stage. But the Jordan River is. And here's Joshua now. He's just taken over. He's the new guy. And God says, now you're going to lead the people, and you're going to take them across that river, and you're going to take that promised land. Talk about pressure. But he believed God. How do you know? Because I read the rest of the book. So there's this preparation. He says there, verse 10, he commanded the officers of the people. Who are these officers? The leaders of each tribe. I've been reading through Numbers. Oh, my. How God, hey, listen, God had it all organized. One of the things I'm picking up this time through Numbers is God is blowing my mind with how before any of this ever happened, he had all this organized. He had the people chosen who were going to be leaders, how it was going to be broken down. He had how all the tribes were going to assemble themselves around that tabernacle. I have a picture in my office. It's not an actual picture, but it's a rendering somebody made of all of them encamped around that tabernacle. But God put each tribe at a particular place. Some were on the west, some were on the east, some were on the south, some were on the north. They all had different organizational things to do when that tabernacle moved. The Levites were broken down into, I think it was three different groups. One group had the inside furniture. One group had the tabernacle itself. One group had all the other stuff. And they were responsible to load that stuff up. By the way, the ones in charge of the furniture inside had to carry it all. The others got ox carts to haul their load. Those ones who carried that altar and carried that, That's why us had got in trouble. But anyway, boy, I'm really killing time here. So here's what he says. Get victuals. What's victuals? Food. You watch the old cowboy pictures or maybe Jed Clampett, they talked about victuals. You know, where's Mary? Talked about possum. Yeah. Hog jaws. Victuals. Good stuff. He said, tell these people now to gather up their food. Pass through the host. 2 million people. And command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So he gives a command in general. This is to everybody. Get ready. But then he gives another command to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. And he says there in verse 12, unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, hath given you this land. All right, what's going on here? Well, it's kind of interesting. We have here the promised land and how the tribes, how it was distributed among all the tribes of Israel. Now, if you notice, this is the promised land. Mediterranean Sea. Jordan River right here. The Jews, when this is being spoken to them, is right down, they're right down here on this side, east side of the Jordan River. Got all that? They're camped here. And God comes along and he says, now, God let Moses go up on a mountain here and look into the promised land. But he said, you're not going in. But now here they are camped. And they're fixing, that's what they would say in North Carolina, fixing to go in there and get Jericho. So now Joshua's supposed to get them ready. He tells all the people, get ready, we're going to cross the Jordan. And then he tells Gad, Reuben, and just half the tribe of Manasseh something special. Look what he tells them. He said, don't forget now the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Okay, what word was that? Well, let's go on back to let's go to Numbers, since I'm there. Spending time in Numbers. If you're wondering what Numbers is all about, it's all about numbers. You say, oh, it's dry reading. Hey, there's a lot of information in all them numbers. Just pay a little attention. Go to 32. Numbers 32. I'll begin in verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build our sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. I got to shorten this up. So here's what happened. They got over here, right there, and they're camped, 2 million of them, and they start looking around. And they said, why do we want to cross the Jordan River? It's pretty nice right here. Why, there's a lot of grass and good things over here, and there's some cities we can take over here, and we can live pretty comfortable over here. So they went to Moses. And they said, Moses, we want to make a deal with you. Moses said, what do you want? They said, well, look, we really like it over here. It's nice. It's got everything we want. A lot of room. We can take the land. So we want to stay here. We don't want to cross the Jordan River. Oh. God said you're supposed to cross that Jordan River, didn't he? He didn't say this was a promised land, did he? No, he said it's over here. So what did Moses do? Moses prayed. God said, well, if that's their want, if that's their will, let them have it. You know God does that? See, God has a will for us in the promised land.
Amen.
Yeah. But if we want to stay over here in this part, God says, if you really want that, I'll let you do that. Now, but God said to Moses, he said, you tell them this. I'll let them have that. That's what they want to do. But they're not getting out of the fight. Uh-uh. No. We ain't playing that game. They want to stay here, that's okay. But when we cross that Jordan River, their fighting men are going with us. They can leave their wives, they can leave their children, and their livestock and everything over here till they get back. But they will fight with us until we have taken the promised land. You got all that? So that's what's going on here. We're going to go over that river in 3 days. Hey, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, don't forget now, you made a deal. And now you're going to go over just like you promised. And you're going to help us. And by the way, as you read the rest, they did. They kept their word. Why, at the end of that chapter right there, those are pretty glowing words. They said, we'll support you, we'll go with you. And they even said, none of the brethren better give you a hard time or they're going to deal with us. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But see, we don't ever want to forget they got out of God's will. What do you mean? That was not God's will for them. Can I just share this with you? This is my personal theology. I think I can support it from Scripture. But I believe God has a perfect will for all of us. If we'll pray and we'll seek His face and obey Him, we can have God's perfect will. But we also have a free will, just like Gad and Manasseh and Reuben had. And so we can say, you know, Lord, I still love you. And I still want to be a good Christian and everything. But I don't want to do this. Or I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to go there. Anything else, Lord? I'm okay. No, not. Are you still in God's will? Well, I'm still saved, still in church, still reading my Bible, still praying. I believe what you've done is you've put yourself not in the perfect will of God, but the permissive will of God. How many of you ever shot a bow and arrow? All right, when you practice, you put a big target up. It has all these rings. Down there in the middle, there's this one. Bullseye. That's what you're aiming at, right? So maybe you hit that, you got the perfect shot. Right where it's supposed to be. But as you go out, you hit some. They're still on the target, but they're not right where they need to be. See, there's a lot of Christians, you're still on the target, but you're way out here in left field somewhere in the permissive will of God, not in the perfect will of God. I'll let you chew on that for a little while. So that's where these guys were. God said, if that's what you really want, okay, I'll let you have it. And notice, they didn't really rebel against God in their minds. We'll still go over, we'll still help take the promised land, but we don't want to live over there. But that's where God said to live. So what price did they pay? Well, why should they pay a price? Because, listen to me, anytime you go against the will of God and you're disobedient, there will be a price to pay. You might want to just jot this down. God blesses obedience. Comma. God cannot bless disobedience. You got it? God blesses obedience. He cannot bless disobedience. So what did they lose? They didn't go into the land God declared to be the land of milk and honey. Was it nice where they were? I'm sure it was. But it wasn't as nice as the promised land. It was just where they made themselves comfortable. That's right, where a lot of Christians live today. Where they've made themselves comfortable. I don't know that God always wants us to be comfortable. See, God tells me I'm not to be of this world. I'm to be in this world, not of this world. God don't want me really to be comfortable in this world. And I got to tell you this, a lot of days I'm not. I feel like a square peg in a round hole. I feel like a pair of sneakers and the whole world's a tuxedo. I don't fit. I'm not like them. I'm not comfortable. But I know I'm right where I need to be. They sacrificed. They didn't get to live in that land of milk and honey that God had promised them. And it seems kind of stupid to me because they went and fought for it and then they left it. They went back. You getting it? Not good for Christians to go back. Good to go ahead. Yeah, they went back to that place. Number two. They were also, if you read the Bible, the first of the Israelite people to be overtaken and captured by their enemies. Go over to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter 5. Verses 25 and 26. Now, a little bit before that, it talks about Manasseh and Gad and the Gadites and Reuben up there in verse 18. Now, we get down here to verse 25. It says this. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers. Well, how did they do that? Well, he goes on to explain that. And went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them. And God, the God of Israel, stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah and Habor and Hara to the river Gozan unto this day. They paid a price. See, the point I want you to get is this. A couple points. Number one, there's a difference between the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Sometimes God will let us have our way, even if it's not sinful. See, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, there's a place where the Bible's clear. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. When we get into that, we're just in sin. But see, it's some of these places where God says, the Word of God says, we should do this or we shouldn't do this or whatever. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. Well, not, that's our free will. God says, no, here's the perfect will right here. I think a very good illustration is, we'll pick on the young ladies. A young lady goes off to Bible college. And she meets some Ahab, Bible college. And he's the one. But you know, some of our Bible colleges aren't all Baptist. So maybe she's a Baptist. She meets a Presbyterian. Their theology is not the same. Hello? Matter of fact, they're a long ways away. But she comes home and says, oh, he's the one, I need to marry him. He's saved. Really? Well, I'd have to question that, but okay, even if I gave that he's saved, he's not the same as you. But she insists she got to marry him. God says, all right, that's my permissive will if that's what you want. But see, down the road, she's going to pay a price. She's either going to have a separation from her husband or she's going to have to go to Presbyterian Church, where they don't believe in the King James Bible, they don't believe in baptism by immersion, they believe in a covenant theology, and on we could go. We need to be looking for the perfect will of God, not the permissive will. So number one, there's a difference. And number two, partial obedience is not real obedience. We love to be partially obedient. You know why? Because it salves our conscience. If we can be partially obedient, we say, well, I did what God wanted me to do. I just didn't do all of it. Anybody know a story like that? Saul. Know what he did? Well, I was obedient to God, Samuel. I went down there and killed those people. Hell, what's the bleeding of those sheep out here? Oh, yeah. Well, I was partially obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I think there's a lot of Christians today living in that place of partial obedience. Well, God, I'm doing some of what you want. Is that what he asked us to do? Listen, if you disagree with me, you come to see me after the service and you show me in the Bible where God says, I want you to be 50% obedient, 75% obedient. I want you all to be 90% obedient. It's not there. God says, obey me. Not partway. Trust and obey. Now, next week, we're going to get into chapter 2, and we're going to see where Joshua not only says that he trusts and obeys, we're going to see him put feet to it. And he's going to lead a people to where God wants him to be. Lord, thank you for Joshua. Help us to learn. And, oh, God, help us to be an obedient people. That's what you ask of us. Trust you, follow you, obey you, surrender to you. Let you have your will and way in our hearts and our lives so that you can give us the victory. You can lead us to that land of milk and honey. You can help us to prosper and be successful in our Christian life. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. All right, Sunday school teachers, helpers, right over here for just a few minutes. The rest of you are dismissed.